Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Off and rolling Wednesday, June 18, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71 alongside, as always, executive producer of the show. That's Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, how you doing, brother?
What's up, man?
Did you see Rafael Devers game one?
I did.
With the Giants?
I did.
Nice gapper, two RBIs. Yeah. Sorry. Had to.
And but honestly, I hate the team, so it doesn't really bother me. I'm rooting for Devers.
But you do have your Red Sox hat on today?
I do have my Red Sox hat on today. Yeah.
Okay. I just had to check in. Saw the hat, reminded me. You have open wounds still,
I
maybe.
I want Devers
you're good.
Do well.
You're still doing
I want Devers to do well. I want the team to do well. I still love the players. I hate Breslow and I hate the management. I hate them.
I hear
Unless
you.
They make some miracle trade, then I'll be like, just when I thought you couldn't get any dumber,
right?
You go and do something like this.
Now, a couple of days ago, for those that haven't seen it, one of the best rants ever, go check it out. It's on our podcast, 929ESPN.com or Apple or Spotify, whatever you got. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 929 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. You know, we open with overreaction, not an overreaction. We'll get into that. We have some Bron to talk about and ring culture. We have to talk about Stephen A because Stephen A just won't shut up. He continues to talk about the city of Memphis. I mean, today he even went ahead and made a reference to Cash Patel. Cash Patel's incorrect statement. Even though I still acknowledge Memphis has crime issues, I think we need to discuss that to a certain extent. We'll have Grizzlies and Kevin Durant. There's been some noise there, although it feels like commercial appeal. DeMichael Cole has put that to rest. As far as guests are concerned, we have David Cobb at 5 o'clock, and we have Trevor Lane at 6 o'clock to talk about the Desmond Bane trade, to talk about Bron and ring culture, to talk about the NBA Finals as well, which we have a closeout opportunity tomorrow night that we will discuss throughout the show. Also worth mentioning, and we will discuss it at some point, Tigers on tour stop last night in Arlington at the owner's box, and Ed Scott gave us an update on how far along they are in raising funds for the job being done to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. So a little bit of positivity there, and we'll bring that to you somewhere in the second hour, likely at 5:30. Before we get into overreaction, not an overreaction, though, one of the I shouldn't say funny, because this is a Grizzly who's going to have to deal with going to court for a misdemeanor, you know, traffic violation. But Zach Edey is apparently facing a reckless driving charge in Indiana. He was driving in West Lafayette recently, I guess on May 1st. And it was first reported by the Indy Star, but we have gotten confirmation. Edey was cited for going 101 in a 55-mile-per-hour zone. Now, it is what it is. I don't know if that's Memphis and him. You know, you drive 240 every day. We exceed that 55-mile-per-hour speed limit like it's our job. Like, I completely understand that. People rarely get pulled over. We have bad drivers in Memphis. You try to avoid them. Maybe going fast is the way to do that. So maybe a little bit of Memphis has rubbed off on him. 101's really fast. But I think the thing that got me, Connor, more than anything, you know what kind of car he drives?
The car's hysterical.
A Kia Sorento. I know that's their SUV, Kia's SUV. But I mean, did he get it custom fitted for himself to be able to fit in that damn thing? I know he can't fit in a sports car. He's 7 foot four.
I remember
300 pounds.
GG Jackson during the season told a story about the first time he hung out with Zach Edey. Edey rolled up in a Kia, and he was like, "Really? You were a lottery pick and number 9 pick, and you got a Kia? All right, man."
I mean, he's due for an upgrade. That's not really the point I want to make, though. How does he fit in a damn Kia Sorento?
I'm just gonna say, could this get spun into a sponsorship?
Well, doesn't the NBA have a deal with Kia in general?
Oh, yeah, they do, probably.
They do.
Make Zach Edey the face of Kia, the face of the NBA.
But how does he fit in the damn thing? I can't get over that.
I think he had to – I remember I have seen
– I can barely fit in any car. I have a Jeep Grand Cherokee outside sitting out there, and sometimes I struggle. I have to push the seat all the way back, do all that. I can't imagine Zach Edey trying to fit in a Kia Sorento.
Back in the day on MTV Cribs – I remember when they would go to NBA players' homes,
yes,
and they would show off the cars, many of them would say they had to get it custom made so they could fit into it. So I'm assuming that may have happened here.
You think he customized his Kia Sorento?
If he didn't customize it, Kia could now have something that says, "Kia, so big even Zach Edey could fit into it." All the space in the world.
Wait a second. Hey, marketing. You got your marketing hat on there, brother.
Now, also, two things I thought when I first saw this news. One, does this mean you should put all of the money on the Pacers to win game 6? Because Zach Edey seems to be the new sacrifice. Okay. Even though he broke his, like, we already had the foot thing. So can you do it twice? The second thing is, Jeffrey brought up this point with Kevin. Was this because he's used to driving in Memphis?
Yes, I mentioned that. I think maybe. Although I did hear those guys discuss this, and it did. And I hope it was tongue-in-cheek. They said it was a classic speed trap. 101 and a 55. Classic speed trap. I mean, speed trap's 80 and a 55.
Well, everybody knows. Everybody knows the speed trap here in Memphis. When you get to Winchester and you're on 365,
sure, yeah,
and that thing drops to 55 out of nowhere,
yes,
that is a speed trap. And there's a cop waiting all the damn time,
sure,
just around that bend. I've seen so many people, so many of my friends get pulled over. A lot of instances, I'm going to be honest, a lot of instances where I've been driving with friends, I've been following them out to like the U of M or downtown, midtown, wherever we're going, and one of them will get pulled over. I'm just like, "Oh, that sucks," and just keep going. Sorry, brother.
But yeah, pushing a Kia Sorento at 101 and Zach Edey fitting in the Kia Sorento is the story.
Honestly, he needs to contact Kia and say,
"What's up?
What's up? We can make something happen here.
But Kia's about driving responsibly. But you could get over that because now we know he's in a Kia Sorento and he fits in it. That's the story.
Correct.
And obviously, if it goes 101, they could, you know,
they can
talk about their engines and carrying around, you know, Zach Edey's hefty. It's a big man.
Big man.
Still pushing at 101 with him sitting in the driver's seat. Impressive stuff. Impressive stuff. But the charge is a misdemeanor. He'll have a court date on Monday. So we can throw that to the side and get into what we normally get into on Wednesday. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
We got to talk about this clown again.
I love that. Yes, that's exactly the reaction you should have.
Stephen A. Smith has gotten what he wanted. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. He absolutely has gotten what he wanted. Listen, you brought it up yesterday, and I think this is something he's going to have to grapple with. I think at this point, no one's like some overwhelming Stephen A. Smith fan. They just know that he exists, and he's very his name is big. I don't know if anybody respects his sports takes at this point. So he's going to have to grapple with that at some point. But he got exactly what he wanted. He got beef with Ja Morant. He got beef just like he had beef with LeBron, just like he had beef with Tyrese Halliburton. Ja responded. He gets to put it and do a whole segment on it on his show. And you get ratings because of that. It's all shock value. There's no substance. It's all shock value. That's what it is. He got exactly what he needed out of this, and that's ratings, boosting them, getting people to go watch. And something tells me that ESPN – on a normal day without this, probably doesn't do that well with ratings on First Take. That's just my assumption. I have not gotten to see the numbers, but my assumption is probably correct. So he got exactly what he needed out of it. If you have not caught up with today, well, last night, we'll start there, he did kind of threaten Ja Morant and say, "Well, do you want to let people know why people don't go to Memphis, or should I do it?" It was like a weird veiled threat online. And then today on the show, he sort of doubled down. He said, "I'm sorry if I offended people in Memphis. I mentioned that they're a great fan base. But, you know, our FBI director, Kash Patel, said that they're the murder capital of the world." Well, in the end of the day, you do have to go check those stats. Kash Patel can say them all we want, but we've learned something about this, you know, administration at the executive branch in our country, they lie. They say things that are not fully true. Now, again, I don't think with all this, it's never, ever, ever the crux of the issue. It's never been about whether or not Memphis has a crime problem. Because it does. We have an issue. And we have a perception issue that we have to work through. I don't think what Stephen A. Smith is doing by continuing to talk about Memphis in that way on national TV helps us with our perception issue at all. It makes it way worse. He wants to act like he wants to help, but he doesn't. He's saying those things outwardly and you know, perpetuating the perception that people have about Memphis and that they've had about Memphis for a long time. But again, it's never been about whether or not Memphis has a crime problem. And I need people in the city to understand this as well, because I've seen a lot of this under my tweets, under various tweets at 92.9 ESPN. It's never been about that. But the reason that we have a problem is the application of the references to Memphis's crime. In other words, pointing out a fact is fine as long as the reason you're pointing out the fact has some bearing in reality. And what he originally said is guys like Jimmy Butler and otherwise have told him that they don't want to come to Memphis because they don't view it as safe. And I brought up Jimmy Butler yesterday. Ricky Pierce, all the first round pick of the 49ers. And we know Jimmy Butler ended up in San Fran. Ricky Pearsall was shot in the last calendar year. In 2024, he was shot in the offseason. Memphis does not have some overwhelming, compared to the rest of major metropolitan cities, crime problem. They have a crime problem, but it is not only Memphis that struggles with that. That's why we're pushing back. Everyone that has talked about this in the city of Memphis has acknowledged the crime problem, but they don't like the application of the reference to Memphis's crime problem. People are so dense about this. You have to understand why people take issue with this. One, Memphis is a loyal city. People are going to go after you if you talk about Memphis and you've never set foot in Memphis and never been around, never walked around the city, done all that. But two, if you're going to bring up Memphis's crime problem, bring it up in a topical way. Bring it up in a way that makes sense. Saying that athletes, professional athletes, don't want to come to Memphis because they think that it's unsafe is incorrect. Memphis has never lost out on a free agent because of the crime problem. They've never lost out on a player that they wanted to retain because of the crime problem. You know why they lose out on certain guys in free agency? Because they're a small market. It's so easy to tell the truth. I know it's not as interesting or entertaining to tell the truth. That's where we're at. Sports media, we've devolved into this area where, you know, we just have to say things that have shock value so people look at us on Twitter and look at us on social media. Like, I understand why Stephen A. did what he did. Doesn't make it correct. And when you get something that is not correct, you have to call it out. And I think that's what everybody in Memphis has done up to this point. But back to your original question. Did he get what he wanted? Absolutely. He got viewers because he's beefing with Ja Morant. He got to double down on what he talked about yesterday in Memphis's crime problem. He didn't admit any wrongs. I mean, he got exactly what he needed. He got more people talking, speaking his name, tweeting his name. That's what he wants ultimately. He got it.
Yeah, and that's where it's tough because you want to ignore this completely and not give it any fuel. But as Memphians, especially, you know, I'm a lifelong Memphian, this city means a whole lot to me. It's given me everything. It's given my family everything. It is a part of my DNA. So when somebody is on national television disparaging your city for a hot take, that we can be honest about this, is complete BS.
It's wrong.
It's nonsense. He has not had
He's
a player
He's not wrong
tell him.
About Memphis having crime. I want to make that
yes.
clear again. He is wrong about the application of the reference to Memphis having crime, saying right. that players don't want to show up because of that.
I would bet all the money that I have that he could name five players that actually told him that they don't want to be in Memphis because of crime. Crime exists in every city in the NBA. It just does. It does. When you go and you look at the cities the NBA are in, a lot of them are in cities with major crime. It is part of the deal sometimes. Now, I think what is very true, though, is when people come to Memphis and they become a part of this city, they want to stay here. I'm not the first one to bring up this point, but players re-sign with Memphis all the time. Name the last player that just walked. Name the last player that wanted out of Memphis. Is it Pau Gasol? Is he the last one that wanted out? Was it Allen Probably. Iverson? But does that case
that
even really count?
That even count?
I mean, we
and
can
again,
name,
that was not because
we
of
can,
crime.
Right. We can rattle off all the players who have moved here, who weren't from Memphis, became a part of the city and chose to make their homes here. One of the players that we forgot yesterday was Tayshaun Prince.
Yeah, still
Mike
here.
Miller has his business here. Businesses here. He's not from Memphis.
Zebo, Tony Allen.
It's a long list.
Mike Conley.
Memphis is a special city that has problems. But one thing that I have been really enjoying since Stephen A. did this is going on social media and seeing Memphians yeah. point out why Memphis is special. They're showing all the events that you can go to. Just this weekend, Levitt Shell, they have their concert series going on, free concert series. I'm going to be there with a ton of friends this weekend. There are so many beautiful things to do in Memphis, beautiful people, beautiful art, beautiful food, etc. And that is why having somebody go on television and only paint your city as crime-ridden when it is a perception that we have been fighting against for years. Does Memphis have crime? Yes. Is Memphis growing and getting better? Yes. It is growing and getting better. It's better than it was 10 years ago. I've been here for 30 years. It is definitely better than it was before. It was better than when you first got here, when you sure. came here in college. Memphis has so many special things to offer, and it can be frustrating when this perception is being parroted on national television by somebody who hasn't spent time here and is uninformed. All he has is crime statistics, which we're not saying are incorrect.
And we're not aren't a problem. They're a problem.
I will add this. He used per capita for a reason. And like I think Jeff went into the reasons why he used per capita. You've gone into the reasons for that to try to make his point even greater. But what he is ignoring, and what he didn't do when he said he would do, when he kind of threatened Ja, which is also clown behavior, he didn't name the players. Name the players. Name them. If you're going to say it with your chest, then say the players. Because you're just lying. You're just lying and you're disparaging Memphis because your ego got hit because Ja clapped back at you. Which, by the way, Ja didn't name names. Stephen A. Smith saw Ja talking about how the NBA coverage is so terrible because there's an NBA Finals game going on. They're talking about this, this, and this. And Stephen A. was like, oh, that's about me. Because he knows. That's the one thing. And it's kind of what I touched on yesterday. Stephen A. Smith is unbelievably successful. One of the most
Absolutely.
Successful TV personalities we have ever seen, especially in the world of sports. He worked his ass off to get where he got. I am not saying any of that is not true. However, he is going to have to grapple with, eventually, his legacy being a loudmouth who is incorrect all of the time on national television, makes a fool of himself, and if we're going to be completely honest about it, has ruined something. He's helped ruin ESPN. helped ruin NBA coverage.
Here's a question.
That's going to be his legacy. We're also not stupid. We know you're trying to get ready to run for political office.
Yes. Can I be honest, though, too? When it comes to ESPN and their higher-ups, how do they view the beefs that he continues to create? When you go through a journalism school, which he did, and he's very well-educated on journalistic integrity, he knows about it, he doesn't necessarily practice it, you always hear you're not supposed to make yourself the story. And he constantly makes himself the story. Now, I understand we have blurred lines and we've changed the sports media space and sports talk space pretty drastically, but I wonder, like, how does ESPN feel about him just creating beef
necessary
with the guys that he is consistently covering?
Necessary evil. They are, it's, you said it. By the way, somebody just texted me. Isaiah just texted me. Great point, Isaiah. You stayed in Memphis.
Yeah, I did too.
You're not from Memphis.
Yeah,
you chose. Love it here. You chose to stay here. You chose to
very much
create
enjoy it
a family
here.
Here.
Yeah,
there. Are, and we've only been talking about Memphis Grizzlies specifically.
Goes without saying, I love it here.
I know so many people who moved here that went to the University of Memphis and decided to stay here and grow families here and make a legacy in Memphis because it's a special city.
The point I'm making, you bring up ESPN saying it's a necessary evil, but At the same time, it's an evil. It's a problem. It's a devolved bad space that we're in when it comes to sports media. When the only way that you're making waves is by beefing with players that you're covering.
Well, it's because he
by
can't,
disparaging cities altogether.
He knows he can't talk intelligently about the games because he's playing solitaire instead of watching them.
But
so he. This is what he does.
That's an indictment
this is his
of the entire media ecosystem.
Yeah. Well, it is to be honest, it's part of this conversation we've been having about sports in general for a long time now, where dollars, ratings, that's all that matters now. Quality doesn't matter. Conversation doesn't matter. Pageantry doesn't matter. History doesn't matter. None of that matters anymore. All that matters is, did we get ratings? What's our bottom line look like? Is this good for business? And ultimately,
I don't think it's
the high ups okay. at ESPN are looking at Stephen A. Smith and they're saying, we have an NBA Finals that unfortunately people aren't that interested in, but people are going to tune in to see him be a clown
yes.
because they're hate watching him.
Yes,
he's turned into a hate watch. And
that's the thing.
We're doing it too.
Okay.
We're tuning in.
That may be good for the bottom line and what you're doing on a short-term basis. I don't think long-term that's a good thing for the
space. I don't know. We've been doing this for what? How many years now? How many years have we been doing it with this?
But Stephen A's turned up the heat on it.
He has.
In the past year with LeBron and Tyrese Haliburton. And
I think we know the reason. I think he has checked out of sports because he's starting to focus on other things.
Right. For sure.
So I don't know if it's long-term viable. Just the same way we don't know if what the SEC is trying to do to college football is long-term viable.
But
it's unfortunately, though, that's what's driving this. They're not going to stop it as long as people are tuning in and giving money to it.
I want to stop this conversation after I have my last piece to say, though. Memphis has a crime problem. There's no doubt about it. That's never been the conversation we're having about Stephen A. Smith. But the application of him using the crime problem to talk about the Grizzlies and their inability to sign free agents is overwhelmingly incorrect. That's the issue you should all have with what he's saying about the city up there. No one's denying crime. No one's saying that Memphis does not struggle with crime. We're saying it's not unique to Memphis, and his application of using crime statistics to say that players don't show up to Memphis are wholly incorrect.
If he had sat there and said Memphis's market is why people don't want to go to Memphis.
Correct.
I'd be like, okay, that sucks, but it's not incorrect.
It's true.
All right, next up. The WNBA has got to get a hold on the Caitlin Clark quote-unquote hate. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Okay, so if you didn't see this yesterday, the Indiana Fever defeated the Connecticut Sun, the worst team in the league, 88-71. Now, along the way, you had J.C. Sheldon poke Caitlin Clark in the eye. It looked incidental. Caitlin Clark shoved back. Marina Mabry, Connecticut Sun big, comes and just decks Caitlin Clark, only gets a flagrant one. Caitlin Clark shoots. She didn't get ejected from the game. She probably should have. They ended up putting it to a flagrant two today. But in response, Sophie Cunningham for the Indiana Fever, when J.C. Sheldon was driving on a fast break layup, Sophie Cunningham absolutely tackled her. I mean, just tackled her, and it caused this massive scuffle. So ask me the prompt one more time, Connor.
The WNBA has to get a hold on the Caitlin Clark quote-unquote hate. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Overreaction. No. Because the people that hate her are always going to hate her. I don't think you're going to bring people back to her side, whether they're Angel Reese fans or WNBA fans that feel like everybody loves her when they should have loved the players before. Like, I don't think you're going to bring anybody who's a Caitlin Clark hater over to the Caitlin Clark lover side. So that's first and foremost. But also, we have a generation of fans who watch the NBA and watch basketball who constantly fantasize and immortalize what 90s NBA was. And what was 90s NBA? You look at the Bad Boy Pistons. You look at the Jordan Bulls. The Jordan Rules knocking the hell out of him. Bill Laimbeer clotheslining him on the way to the rim. All these scuffles, punches being thrown. We have a whole generation of people that immortalize that. But as soon as it happens in the WNBA, it's a problem? Like, we have a whole generation of people that talk about competition. There's not enough bad blood, whether it be the NBA, WNBA, college, whatever it is. And you see it, and now you don't like it because Caitlin Clark is the one that's dealing with it. This has happened as long as we played sports. When you have a phenom, when you have somebody that comes in to a professional space that people have been in and for years, and this person gets more attention, there's an act of jealousy. And it's natural to feel that way. You can feel that at work. You can feel that anywhere. And you try to tear that person down. That's how it works. But like, I just don't understand the constant praise and immortalization we see on a daily basis of the 90s and basketball and the Bad Boy Pistons versus the Jordan Bulls and the knocking the hell out of each other. Then we see it last night in the Connecticut Sun Indiana Fever game, and now it's some issue. It's good for ratings. It's fine. It's normal sports hate. Just because a woman's doing it doesn't make it different than when a man's doing it. I enjoy it. I think it's high entertainment. Do they need to take it easy? We don't need anybody getting hurt out there, rolled up on. Sure. Like, I agree with all that. In a game, refs have the obligation to get a hold of that before it turns into injuries and everything else. But what I saw last night in that Connecticut Sun Indiana Fever game, I loved. I don't know about you. I enjoyed it. I think it's fine. And I don't think the WNBA has any obligation to try to go out there and say, people, stop hating on Caitlin Clark.
No.
Stop fouling her hard.
No.
No, it's a natural progression of things. It's how it's always happened in sports.
I think Caitlin Clark's great, but I don't think there's any denying that. She talks a lot of mess, man. And every once in a while, she's going to get hit.
Like, yeah, it happens.
It comes with the territory, and I don't think there's any problem with it. Having rivalries in sports is a good thing.
Healthy sports hate is a great thing.
Healthy sports hate. Like, you can be someone who enjoys Caitlin Clark while also acknowledging that she's probably annoying as hell if you're an opposing team or an opposing player.
Absolutely.
And if you go after her, the Fever are going to go after you. And that's fine. This is sports. It's competitive. We think that the WNBA needs to do a better job marketing these players.
Yes.
But if you go to them and say, hey, you gotta
chill
stop.
Out.
You gotta chill
no.
out on the court. No. The sports, the healthy sports hate, the competitiveness, the chirping back and forth, the physicality, those are good things. I enjoy them. I think that game, the highlights were so much fun to watch. I also love that the tackle happened when the game was completely over.
Yeah, and it's great. Just,
these women are going after each other, and that's real competitiveness right there. And I love it, and I think it's good for the WNBA. So, no, they shouldn't go to these players and say, knock it off. Market your players better, market your teams better, but allow the on-the-court chippiness to continue.
Let a young player get picked on a little bit. I know it's worked with several players in the past. As we look at the NBA, it worked with Jordan. He found a way to get
they
over it.
They beat the
LeBron
hell out of
James.
Him for a few years.
LeBron James, it's worked with LeBron James.
There's an entire book about it.
When LeBron James came into the league, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they had guys on that roster basically saying, well, he ain't better than me right now. He's going to have to prove it. Well, he proved it pretty quickly, didn't he?
We quite literally have NBA players whose careers were built on the fact that they would absolutely whoop your ass if you went after their best player.
Yes.
James Johnson is still on an NBA
yes.
team right now. He's in the NBA Finals. You think he's there?
I don't like Draymond Green, but it's one of the qualities that has made him a four-time champion.
Go ask Charles Oakley how his career was so long. Because he would beat the hell out of somebody if they stepped at his player.
But again, like when we get into these conversations, I don't need to hear the conversation go to, well, should the WNBA step in and try to limit this stuff? No, I need to hear praise. You constantly talk about competition. You constantly talk about wanting more bad blood between players in the NBA, players in the WNBA, players in all these leagues. Well, you have it. Praise it. That's fine with me.
Yeah,
I enjoyed what I saw last night. It was high entertainment. And I personally think it is good for the WNBA, what we saw last night.
And if you're a Caitlin Clark fan, I think you have to acknowledge that she talks all the time.
Yes.
And every once in a while, somebody's going to step at her. And the Fever can step right back at them.
And also, it's annoying to see someone hit 35-foot threes right in front of your face and beat the hell out of you. That's annoying as well.
Yeah.
People take exception to that.
All right, last one. LeBron James on ring culture. Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley and Steve Nash. Like, oh, they can't be talked about or discussed with these guys is because this guy won more rings. He won one ring or won two rings. It's just weird to me. LeBron is right, overreaction, not an overreaction.
So the general conversation was about ring culture and should you have to have a ring to be considered one of the greatest. LeBron is right. I'll say not an overreaction. I think we go too far with ring culture. I do think you have to have a certain amount of championships to be considered one of the greats. These are just the rules all the time. I heard Charles Barkley talking about it with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes on their show, All the Smoke. And is it All the Smoke? What is it? What's their show?
But Mind, either way, the game. Mind the Game.
No, that's not Mind the Game. That's LeBron James and Steve Nash's. But either way, it's Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes' podcast.
This was on Mind the Game.
This, you don't know, this was. I'm talking about Charles Barkley. He was on with Steven Jackson and with Matt Barnes. And he was like, listen, I get where LeBron's coming from, but at the same time, we've always had rules in all sports. You can be a more talented player with less championships, and you can't be part of that elite club. No one's going to put Dan Marino in Tom Brady's club. Dan Marino was a more talented gunslinger, no doubt about it. But you know who has all the championships? That's Tom Brady. Like, there is a certain amount of championships you have to win to be considered on the right side, to be one of the greats. And Charles Barkley was sort of mentioning that, and I respect that from him. But I will say, to come to LeBron's rescue on this, right? He has been on the bad end of this ring culture conversation more than anybody in the history of sports.
Yeah.
The amount of people that will never give him credit for his four championships and just talk about the championships he lost and his record in the finals. The amount of people that ignore all of the statistics he holds. He's the leading playoff point getter. He's the leading point getter. He's top 10 in every statistical category in the playoffs or in the regular season, in assists and rebounds, both. So, like, I get where he's coming from. He's done all these great things. He has untouchable records, yet no one's ever going to let him chase down that Jordan ghost. Now, I would say to him, please stop trying to chase down the Jordan ghost. Because as soon as you do, if you won the next two championships as a Laker, they're going to move the goalpost. No one's ever going to come to your side. I feel like we do this thing, or at least NBA players do this thing, where they try to please people. They try to please everybody. You can't do that. I do think also when it comes to ring culture, we love to talk about winning rings and how much it means for your legacy, but it's got to be on our terms. Kevin Durant's the perfect example for that. Kevin Durant goes to the Warriors, wins his rings, wins his finals MVPs. Everybody steps back and they're like, well, not like that. We didn't want to see you do it that way. I just think, in general, LeBron's point stands because we are all in this subjective area and people don't want to come off of the opinion that they've held for their entire life. It's annoying. It's very annoying. I know I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth, but I think that's the only way we can really approach this ring culture conversation. You have to win a certain amount to be considered one of the greats, but once you get to that 3, 4, 5, 6 range, like, you've won more than enough. I don't need anybody to tell me or diminish LeBron's legacy in the way of Jordan because he's only won 4 to Jordan's 6. I think that's so stupid. Think that's dumb, or these one less than Kobe. I think that's so unbelievably ridiculous. But at the same time, I get where you have to win a championship to be on that, to be in that stratosphere. The Charles Barkleys, the Allen Iversons, and the Steve Nashes, I think for the most part, they understand that.
Yeah, I do think that to be in certain conversations, I do think you have to have at least one ring. Now, to be in all-time great conversations, you need to have multiple rings. But as long as you have one, I'm cool with people being in certain conversations. I think that overall, it's probably just a frustration about how, for some reason with the NBA, it is so negative when we're talking about players' legacies, and we find the things they didn't do well enough instead of talking about the things that they did well. And I think that's probably some of the frustration and why he's like, Why, when we talk about Allen Iverson, are we not talking about him being maybe the most influential player that we've ever seen? You know, Steph Curry's close, but like Allen Iverson changed the culture of
the
NBA.
Led
the
league in scoring three times, by
the way. He was unbelievable. Steve Nash, like, he helped, you know, bring the new pace era. Like, that Steve Nash is one of the forefront guys of that. Charles Barkley is one of the greatest power forwards of all time. He was unbelievable. MVP player, went head-to-head with Jordan, just was going up against Michael Jordan, so he couldn't get his ring. But we talk about the rings first, and then we talk about their accomplishments, when we should talk about the accomplishments first and their impact first, and then the rings. I understand his gripe with it. And, you know, and when it comes to him specifically, ring culture has been probably started with him. I just don't really remember rings being talked about on national television when I was growing up.
As much as it has been.
LeBron got to the point where he should be winning one, or he should be winning multiple ones. Then all of a sudden it's everywhere, and legacy talk is everywhere now.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's so odd the way the NBA and their players and their legacies are discussed when you look at baseball. And like, we talk about, like, Barry Bonds doesn't have a ring, but we have said on this show, we think he's the greatest baseball player of all time. But he doesn't have a ring. Why? It's so weird how we hold NBA players to, well, if you don't have a ring, you can't be this. Or if you don't have two rings, you can't be this. We need to start talking. We have to reframe these things and start talking about what these guys did well.
This is one of the things I despise about the ring culture and rings mattering so much. This is one of the things I despise. It brings out some of the dumbest takes of all time. Kevin Durant has a diminished legacy because he joined the 73-win Warriors. No, he was the best player on that Warriors team when he joined, and he won two finals MVPs. Like, that should be the conversation. We have to have it on our sort of, you know, by our measurements, which is absolutely ridiculous. And then also, let's not forget, ring culture brought out one of the worst takes of all time from our favorite, Stephen A. Smith, last week. Giannis Antetokounmpo, if he only wins one championship, he's an underachiever, a guy who's won two MVPs, a guy who has consistently the past 7 years been top three in MVP voting, a guy who averages 30 and 14 over the last 7 years. That's the guy we're saying is an underachiever because he hasn't won more than one ring. That's where I despise ring culture and how it is applied to NBA conversations and to conversations in the sports world. It's too much. It's overblown. If you've won one, you've won one. I think you deserve to be considered among the greats. And I don't think we need to diminish you We don't need to diminish you as much as we do because you haven't won one. Don't think we need to hold it over Steve Nash, Allen Iverson, and Charles Barkley's head as much as we consistently do on a daily basis.
Weirdly enough, I will say, sometimes we do actually hold players who have won a ring but not won multiple over their heads more than we hold, like, the rings over Charles Barkley's head.
Yeah,
it's so silly. It's so silly.
It is. And I think that's the crux of the point LeBron was making, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. The Grizzlies and Kevin Durant, we know that they made a run at KD at the trade deadline, but could they do it again? We'll discuss on the other side. 92.9 FM, ESPN. So the Grizzlies and Kevin Durant, we know they made a run at him at the trade deadline, but could they do it again? We had reports today, conflicting reports, I will add. One from Evan Sidery at Forbes, who covers the NBA for them, saying the Grizzlies recently entered the Kevin Durant sweepstakes per a source familiar with the situation after trading Desmond Bane. Memphis is revisiting their interest on Durant after a failed pursuit in February. Now, from the top rope, full people's elbow, directly on that report, our own DeMichael Cole at the Commercial Appeal said the Grizzlies are not interested, per sources, in trading for Kevin Durant. They contemplated an offer at the trade deadline, but they haven't and don't intend to engage on a trade for Durant this offseason. Now, there's conflicting reports, but I still think it's very interesting to discuss what are the reasons to bring in Kevin Durant versus what are the reasons not to bring in Kevin Durant. Obviously, there's plenty of reasons to the pro side of this thing. Kevin Durant is one of the best offensive players of all time. If you want to reinvigorate a fan base, you can bring in Kevin Durant, you can put butts in the seats, and you would have a lot of sellouts next year. I can fully imagine that. Also, I think Kevin Durant playing alongside Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., I think he could complement them in a pretty good way. He's still okay on the defensive side, but offensively he could be another creator. Now that you've lost Desmond Bane, you could be better going into next year. So, like, I think there are plenty of reasons to be interested in Kevin Durant. But here's where I want to go with this. I think what we have seen in recent days since the Desmond Bane trade, the Grizzlies have a couple of reasons. They don't necessarily like the direction they were headed and what the direction would be if you brought in Kevin Durant. One, you bring in Kevin Durant, he's going to be 37 years old, and you'd have to owe him $53 million next year. 53. Desmond Bane, for those that are keeping track of those numbers, $39 million. It's really hard to afford a guy like Kevin Durant going into the future with the CBA, how it's set up. We also know that Kevin Durant has denied wanting to go to Minnesota. Now, do I think he is in the spot to do that? Mentioned it yesterday. No. I think that he has gotten his preferred destinations the last two times he's been traded, to Brooklyn and to Phoenix. That hasn't worked out well. So I don't know if he should be getting traded to preferential spots, but if he didn't want to go to Minnesota, I think it's very likely to say he would not want to come to the city of Memphis. And no, it wouldn't be because of crime, Stephen A. Let's keep that out of the question right now. But I look at, even deeper, the Grizzlies' direction and what they're clearly trying to do. When they traded Desmond Bane, they got four picks in return, unprotected, and two decent potential role players. KCP, I think, will be on the team. Cole Anthony, maybe not, but if he is on the team, I think he could be a decent contributor. When you look at that, they clearly took Desmond Bane's contract and they want to divvy it up to different role players. Maybe you have a $20 million guy that you feel good about, a $15 million guy you feel good about, a $5 million guy that you feel good about. You're trying to add different role pieces to enhance the Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson experience. Desmond Bane just was too much. You weren't able to surround those three with enough. Maybe you can surround the two with enough. If you bring in Kevin Durant, you're basically saying, I don't want flexibility. I want a short-term boom. And I don't think the Desmond Bane trade showed us that that's the Grizzlies' way of thinking. They want to make sure they have an affordable roster, and they want to get better in the margins. They have their two guys in John Jaren. They want to make sure you add a KCP. They want to find guys like Herb Jones or Trey Murphy or Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Guys like that that don't break the bank but can also give you really good minutes in the regular season and in the playoffs. So I think it would be completely antithetical to trade Desmond Bane to break up that contract and then to bring in a $53 million contract that is more expensive. If I'm just reading the tea leaves, this does not seem like something the Grizzlies want to pursue. And personally, I don't think, if they want to maximize the flexibility that they gained back in the Desmond Bane trade, I don't think it's a direction that they should head.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think at one point in time, a Kevin Durant trade would have made sense, but it probably would have to involve someone like Desmond Bane. Now that Desmond Bane is no longer here in Memphis, what are you sending to the Suns to get Kevin Durant? I don't think you have anything of value that they would want necessarily.
Picks.
You do have picks, but I don't want to send all of my picks right for, like you said, a player who is going to cost that amount of money. I do think that Kevin Durant would absolutely put the Grizzlies into true contention conversation when you would pair him with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. You still have the rest of the roster to figure out. I do think it would make them better. But it's just, if he doesn't want to be here, I don't think you pay a king's ransom to get here, to get him here. He clearly doesn't want to be in Memphis right now, and because probably market size, and he thinks that you can win somewhere else. It just doesn't make any sense for the Grizzlies to get involved. I'm glad DeMichael put that out there, because it felt like one of those rumors that didn't have there was no reality to it. Just because the Grizzlies were interested in a player at one point in time doesn't mean they're interested in a player right now. What I do think could be interesting involving the Grizzlies in a Kevin Durant
trade is to get
trade,
involved in a three-team trade.
Being the third team is where I do think the Grizzlies might be able to find some value in a Kevin Durant trade. The assets that they have would make sense for a third team that wouldn't be acquiring a guy like Kevin Durant.
Throw in a Cole Anthony, you throw in some picks.
Right. And yeah, so like you might be able to get involved with the Kevin Durant trade. You just wouldn't be getting Kevin Durant, but you could still help improve your roster right now. So that is something I think to keep an eye on. But I don't think that giving up all the assets you just got for Kevin Durant right now makes a ton of sense, especially with the amount of money he is owed. When you sent off Desmond Bane with the idea that you can turn that contract into two or three serviceable players that can help you win.
Yes, I think it's antithetical to the approach that has been the foundation of the approach that's been laid down by Zach Kleiman in the front office. I think it would be pretty insane to trade off Desmond Bane, who is making $39 million, just to bring in another big three, and the third piece being the most expensive at $53 million. It's just not something that makes sense when you read and try to read between the lines of what this front office did just on Father's Day, this past Sunday. You trade off Desmond Bane, I don't think you're going big fish. You're not going big game hunting right this second. You may find some decent $20 million guys, some really good role players, but I think that the idea behind a $35-plus million guy to be the third guy next to Ja and Jaren, I think we need to throw that idea out the window. I don't know how you feel about that. I think that the thought of replacing Desmond Bane with somebody that makes that amount of money needs to be gone from our vocabulary and just our thought process.
Like we said, there were a few players that we named yesterday where if they were interested in coming to Memphis and the Grizzlies had a trade package where they could go get them, maybe for that amount of money. But I think it makes more sense to try to turn Desmond Bane into two to three guys. I mean, you still have so many options at the wing that they can go after. Like, I know the Cam Johnson thing seems like that might be a possibility now. I think that he matches the timeline more. He wouldn't cost as much, and he would still allow you to be able to go out and get another player.
Yep, but we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
I would say stick to DeMichael Cole's report.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
Reporting and not Evan Sidery.
God, hey,
good rule of thumb.
Evan.
Completely wrong all the time.
He's wrong all the time. Him and Jake Fisher.
He's just an aggregator. He's an aggregator. He does none of his own
work.
But this
was not an aggregated tweet. This was breaking. The Grizzlies recently entered the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, per source familiar with the situation.
His source is somebody else's podcast. I guarantee it.
Okay.
But he's wrong all the time.
I find that, I mean, but he is not the only one that threw out, and obviously these are smaller names, that threw out other reports about the Grizzlies. Maybe trying to go get after
I think their reports were probably At the deadline, the Grizzlies made a run at Kevin Durant.
That's
so they
what
said,
I'm thinking.
Oh, if they did it four then, months then they ago, do it now.
Four yeah. months ago, they tried to pursue Kevin Durant, but things have drastically changed since then. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break. Hour number two is on the way, and David Cobb. David Cobb is scheduled to join us next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.